Please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Job, the third chapter. Job chapter 3 in your Schofield Bible, page 571. We're reading the same passage as last Sunday, but the text verse is a different verse. The text verse for this morning's message is verse 23. And we'll be reading verses 20 through 26. And we'll read these verses responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. And the last verse together. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for our church. Thank you for a wonderful year. We thank you for this service. And this service will mean so very much to many people who are here. It's life or death for somebody here. Please grant thy presence, thy power, in a very special way. And we all need what the man of God has to say. For he has walked with thee, and thou hast given him a message for us. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, what's the use of having it if you can't use it? What's the use of having it if you can't use it? Job said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid? That's one of the saddest statements in the Bible to me. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? Our Heavenly Father, thou art our God, we have none other, we want none other, we need none other. But thank you for being our God. Now in thy providence and thy will, we don't always understand. But we always understand that you're our God and you know what's best. Speak to our hearts, do thy will, and accomplish thy purpose and will in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. There Job sits in the city dump. There are so many things that break his heart. His heart is broken because he's lost all of his wealth. Everything that he had in this world's goods, gone. His heart is broken because he had lost his 10 children. All 10 of his children had been killed in a tragic accident. His heart is broken because he had lost his health. He has the awful disease of elephantiasis, a form of leprosy. His body is corrupt with sores. He sits in the ash heap of the city dump, with a little piece of metal, much like one of our knives, called a potsherd. And there he scrapes his body, trying to get some relief. Even the sharp metal against his body gave some relief to the pain of the sores that he had. He sits there in the burning embers of the city dump, for even the fire from the coals and embers of the city dump gave some relief to him. His heart is broken because his health is gone. His children all dead. His wealth all taken. His health gone. His heart is broken because his wife's loyalty was also gone. She came and looked at him and saw him in the city dump. And she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Boy, what an opportunity she had. No woman who ever lived had the opportunity to be a good wife like she had. She blew it. I have a sermon I preached one time called The Opportunity of Adversity. And she had the opportunity to become the best wife in the Bible, but she blew it. Job's heart is broken because those whom he thought were his best friends have forsaken him. They came and told him why he was suffering. Job sits in the city dump. His heart is broken because his influence is gone. Job had been the most influential man of his area. He had been the outstanding man of his area. And there he sits as little boys and girls come and laugh at him and make fun of him. The old man sitting there in the city dump, 10 graves not far away, his health totally gone, his wife gone, his friends gone, his children gone. But there's one thing I've never heard mentioned that I think broke Job's heart as much as anything else. He had so much to offer that he could not use. Are you listening? He had so much to offer that he could not use. And that's why he made the statement. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? Dear God, why, if you didn't want me to use what I know, did you give me what I know? Why did you give me these revelations that you've given to me if you don't want me to use those revelations? You've given me the tools with which to work, and yet those tools are taken away. Job is saying, what's the use of having it if you can't use it? You see, Job had so much to offer. He had business ability to offer. He could have been one of the outstanding financiers in his whole area, and had been, no doubt. And yet, he couldn't use it. This business ability, his hands were tied. His arms were shackled. He could not use the wonderful ability that God had given him to use. He had so much to offer. He had leadership ability. Job was a born leader, and yet he could not lead. Here is a man of business who cannot use his business acumen, and here is a man of leadership who has no one to lead and no one who will follow him. And here's a man who has teaching ability. Job said, "Lord, I know so much. I've learned so much. You've taught me so much. I've studied so much. There's so much I could teach. But here I am in the city dump. What good is it? If I'm a businessman, I can't use that talent. What good is it if I have knowledge? I have no way to give vent to it. What good is it if I can lead? I have no one to lead. Here I sit in the city dump." And he said, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid?" Job had knowledge. He had ability to help people and would help people. Hey, look, here's a guy that had it all but couldn't use any of it. His hands are tied. I'm talking this morning to people just like that who are saying with Job, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in?" Let me pause for a few minutes to just thank God for something. Let me thank God that I have the strength today to do what I know how to do. Let me praise God on this Christmas season that I have health enough to do what I've been trained to do. Thank God. I look back there sometimes at Brother Miller, that dear older preacher whose health is gone and probably knows more Bible than all of us put together. And there he is. He barely can make it to church and sometimes Sundays he can't make it to church. And I look back and I just thank God today that God has given me the strength with which to do what I know how to do. Brother, if you've got health today enough to do an opportunity to give vent to what you know how to do, jump up and down and holler and say, "Glory be to God." I'm talking to hundreds of people today who, because of circumstances, cannot do what you can do. Some because of illness. I'll never forget when I saw for the first time my good friend Dr. Bill Rice. The most charming person I ever met, other than myself, was Dr. Bill Rice.
I never met a personality like Dr. Bill Rice. Never did in all my life. Most charming person I ever knew in my life, the most radiant personality was Dr. Bill Rice. I was out in the mountains of Colorado preaching, and they brought a message out way out in the woods where I was preaching in a camp, and they said, called Dr. Pete Rice, and I rode miles to a telephone, public telephone, and I called from an outdoor public telephone. And Dr. Pete Rice said, Dad just had a massive stroke and he's paralyzed. And I'll never forget the next time I saw him. He couldn't speak. And I thought, how charming was his speech, but he couldn't speak. And I thought, how winsome was his personality, but he couldn't use it. And Job is saying the same thing, and you're saying the same thing. Some of you, use the house. I know how to teach. I know what to teach. I know how to preach. I know what to preach. But I can't do what I know how to do because of illness. I love that song. In fact, a little girl sings it every Sunday. She gets at my door, and under my door comes a sweet little girl's voice who sings, "Right in the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar if you brighten the corner where you are." And she sings that because she knows that's one of my favorite songs. And that's one of my favorite songs because my mother sang it to me when I was a little boy. She'd rock me in the old rocking chair and she'd sing in her off-key voice. I got my voice from Mama. And she'd sing in her off-key voice, "Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar if you brighten the corner where you are." And that song has a wonderful story behind it. The author of that song, a lady named Annie, I think, the author of that song had a beautiful voice. She was signed a contract to go on a worldwide tour to sing the gospel. All over the world, around the world, to sing the gospel. And just before she left on that tour, suddenly her father was stricken with an illness. And no one could take care of her father but her. And her trip was canceled, and she had no way in the world to bless the entire world with a lovely voice. And so she was bitter at first, and after a while, her bitterness left. And she sat down and she wrote this thought, "I cannot go around the world and sing, but this little corner where I am, I can brighten this little corner." And she wrote the song, "Brighten the Corner Where You Are," and that song has gone around the world many more times than she could have ever gone around the world and influenced the world far more than she could ever have done so by her voice. And I'm saying this, some of you this morning, you're unable. You say, "Why can't I do what I want to do? I want to know how to do. There's knowledge here. I can't impart it. There's talent here. I can't use it. There are things I want to do. I cannot do because of my health." I think of Dr. Tom Williams, whose wife was stricken with an unbelievable disease. And that evangelist had to leave the road for over a year, do nothing but help his wife and nurse his wife and feed his wife and teach his wife and help his wife. And there was an evangelist used of God, a man who can preach who couldn't preach, a man who could preach revivals and couldn't preach revivals, a man who could go soul winning, but he couldn't go soul winning, a man who could not do what he could do because of the health of somebody else. Are there others here this morning? You cannot do what you can do because of no opportunity. I'm talking to some young man, wants to pastor. You finished Hiles Anderson College, and you've taken church ed. You've taken the same thing four times because every preacher boy at our college, we teach him the same thing, same courses, four consecutive years. You don't just take church ed one time. You take church ed all through the first year, and the second year, the same thing over, and the third year, the same thing over, and the fourth year, the same thing over. You know how we do that? Because we don't have teachers that can teach any more than that. That's why. But we do it because, brother, we're trying to train preachers. We're not training people to go raise crops overseas and be agricultural missionaries. We're not training people to be counselors. We're not training people to be movie stars in Christian movies. We're not training people to be actors in Christian drama. We're training old-fashioned preachers to build old-fashioned churches here at Hiles Anderson College. But you're finished now. You've passed. You crammed your 4 years into eight. And you're ready. And yet no church is called. No opportunity is opened up. And here you sit. Your gun is loaded. But nobody wants you to shoot it. And you sit and you wait. And that's what Job said. Job said, look, he said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid? And whom the Lord, whom God hath hedged in. Why did you give me all this knowledge if you want me to sit in the city of Dove? Why did you give me all this talent if you want me to sit in the city of Dove? I don't understand it. But bless God, I don't understand it either. But I have a God who understands it. Years ago, several years ago, one of my heroes, Dr. Lee Robertson, was pastoring Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga. All of a sudden, he lost his voice. Totally. He could not speak over 3 or 4 minutes. His voice would turn to a whisper. For 1 year, that man could not preach. For 1 year, he had to sit on his own platform and listen to other fellows preach. I can't think of anything more miserable than me to sit up here on a platform for a whole year and hear these guys preach. My soul, what a boring year that would be. But for a whole year, all he could do was sit there and in his own church, where he pastored over 40 years, and now his voice is paralyzed. He cannot speak, and I prayed for him every Sunday morning and tried to remember him through that year. And there I thought of that man. Here's a man who has one of the greatest minds in America, but he can't relay what's in that mind. And why did you give him that and not give him the ability to speak it? And here's a man who is a great leader, but he cannot lead. And a man, a great preacher, but he cannot preach. And a man who's a great teacher, but he cannot teach. And that's what Job said. Job said, dear God, you know I can be a help to somebody. Why did you tell me all of this and put me here in the city dump? And let me not have bent to use what you've done for me. Years ago, when I was a young man in college, I heard about a missionary, returned missionary, retired missionary, bedfast, who lived down the Shreveport Highway about 10 miles outside of Marshall, Texas, where I went to college. I went out one afternoon and knocked on the door, and I walked in and saw one of the sweetest faces I've ever seen. Man over 90 years of age. Had served God for his entire life on the foreign mission field. It was a Thursday afternoon. I sat there beside his bed. His name was Gustave Norling. Gustave Norling, a Norwegian. And I said, Dr. Norling, if I just sit here and listen, would you talk to me? And the old man began to cry, and he said, I'd love to, son. And I sat there by his bedside, and the old man began to talk. And I said, Dr. Norling, could I come back next Thursday afternoon, same time? He said, you sure can. He said, could you bring some other preacher boys with you? And I took a little group of preacher boys every Thursday afternoon out to Gustave Norling's house. And we sat there and listened to that old man as he taught us. Here's what he said. He said, thank you, fellows, for giving me a chance to say what I know. Thank you for giving me a chance to say what I know. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God, that I have an opportunity. Thank God Ray Boardway has an opportunity to use the talent God has given him. Thank God that Keith McKinney has the opportunity to use the talent God has given him. Thank God that the man that can comfort people like no man alive today, John Colston, has the opportunity to use the talent God has given him. Thank God that God has given Miss Don Boyd, one of the most compassionate men with young people alive today, the opportunity. Oh, my soul, I cringe to think the day will ever come when I'll sit in a wheelchair somewhere and not be able to preach hallelujah this morning. God has given me a job to do and strength to do it. Job sits in the wheelchair or the ash heap of the city dump, and he says, why did you give me this light? I don't understand why you did. Why would you hide my way and hedge me in and not let me have a chance? I'm a leader, but I can't lead. I'm a businessman, but I can't organize. I'm a teacher, but I can't teach. I know some things I have not had the opportunity to speak. Why would you give me all of this and put me here? There's some folks this morning who say, I could be a good wife. I prepared to be a good wife. But I've never had the opportunity to use what I know. You know what I'd do this morning if I were a woman? And the chances of my hair becoming one are very remote. But if I were a woman and I had a husband, if I were a young lady and had a husband, you know what I'd do? I'll tell you, I'd be a better wife to him than the women that never got a husband would be if they had him. See what I said? I said, if I were a young lady and had a husband and a family, I'd dead sure be a better wife than those dear ladies in this room this morning. You say like Job, you said, dear Lord, I've taken all the courses at the college. I've read all the books I can about being a wife. And Lord, why would you teach me all of this and not let me be a wife? Or Lord, I'd be a good mother. I have a mother's heart. Why would you give me this heart and give me this desire and give me this knowledge and not let me use it? Now, quickly, may I ask the question and answer it? What can you do? What can you do? It may be that some of you, because of sin, have not been able to use or cannot use the talent and the knowledge that God has given you. First thing you can do, if God has not let you be a mother, you can mother some little Sunday school class. You can mother a bus route. You can sit there in your house and lament the fact and get bitter at God and get bitter at your husband if you want to. What you could do is say, if God's not going to give me a baby of my own, I'll get me a little Sunday school class and I'll mother them and I'll love them. I'll get me a bus route. I'll find some little kids that have no mother to love them. Or if they have a mother, they don't love them. I'll find some orphan kids and I'll build me a Sunday school class. Let me tell you something. While you've got the energy to do anything, use it for God. He said, Brother Hiles, I can't preach. I have the ability. I have the knowledge. I'm trained to do it. But God hasn't opened a church for me. First place, I don't like that kind of talk. There's too many street corners. Find one and preach. Too many jails. Find one and preach. Too many rest homes. Find one. Go preach there. But you fellows are just sitting here doing nothing. I hope you never get churches. Preach to a Sunday school class. Preach to a group of little children on a bus route. I'm saying, if you cannot do what you want to do with what God has given you to do, do what you can where you are. May I say this too? I'd write it down. Job, pick up your pen. You can write. That knowledge you've got in that head, it ought not to die when you die, Job. All you've learned ought to be passed down. I believe in writing. I think everybody in the world ought to write. Well, you said, Brother Hauser, couldn't find a publisher. See, all you're interested in is getting your name on a book. But you ought to write. If nothing else, write down what you know. Stick it in the top drawer of your dresser and somebody will find it someday and they'll know what you know. I hold in my hand today an acrostic. An acrostic is a poem in which the first letters of each line are words. For example, this acrostic was written by my mother's grandfather. Now, my mother was born in 1887. I don't know how old her father was when she was born, but let's suppose he was 20. She was born in 1867. If that's the case, her grandfather was born in the 1840s, at latest 1840s. That means that this poem was written probably by a man who was born well before the Civil War was fought. By the way, our country is only 212 years old or so. And over 200 years old. That means that this was written not very long, probably, after the Declaration of Independence. He wrote it. This is the actual handwriting right here. This is one of the few things that sits on anything in my office, except junk. But, by the way, I cleaned my office this week. If you have a chance, we're having open house this afternoon. Don't forget to bring a gift. You see, serving punch? No, we're serving punch if you don't come. But anyway, but I clean my office. But this is one thing that sits on one of my little desks or tables all the time. Written by my mother's grandfather. An acrostic. Take the first letter of each line down, and it gives his daughter's name, Eugenia Frazier. I'm sorry, Eugenia Fredonia Frazier. Listen to it. Eugenia, dear daughter of my soul, useless would be this paper scroll. Gainless its lettering, emptiness its sound, except its inspiration can be found. Naught here on earth a blessing can you give. Inspired by God's word alone can you receive. A blessing, ask in faith and He'll relieve. Freshen up your mind, dear child, by God's blessed word. Reach forward to His promises, to the promises of your Lord. Ever approach Him in your most trying hour. Despair not, for you will find His mighty power. On wings of love He'll fly to your relief, nor sorrow leave with you, nor trouble grief. Inspired by His almighty grace and visitation, amongst life's troubles you'll bow with placid resignation. Forever trust in God, for earth's power is vain. Righteousness is His, to this you may attain. Ask in submission to His heavenly will. Should storms arise, His word can make them still. Unseen, His guiding hand will take you through. Rough storms of trouble, nor you these troubles know. Ever sustain, my child, O Lord, while here below. Written by my mother's grandfather. Where did he have it published? Three, four generations later, on the desk of his great-grandson. Now listen to me. There's something you can do. Here's the tragic thing. Job said, Lord, I don't understand it. All this knowledge, why didn't you give it to me and put me here in the ash heap? I'll tell you, Job, you can't do what you think you could do, but you can do something. And so can you. What you want to do is a whole ball of wax or nothing. I mean, you want to do everything that you always dreamed you could do, but life does not always work out that way. Sometimes the things you want to do to tell what you know, you can't do it. You're too much a big shot to teach a Sunday school class. You're too much a big shot to have a bus route. You're too much a big shot not to be have your name in the headline. Let me tell you something. You've got to face God one of these days. Do what you can do with what God has given you to do. Yeah, I'll say this quickly. To those of us who are busy, and God has given us light, and God has given us opportunity and vent with which to shine it. It's our job to go to those like Job and get it from them. There are Gus Dave Norlings everywhere. I wonder how many of you preacher boys at Howells Anderson College ever gone to see Dr. Miller back here? I mean, right here. And by the way, you say, Dr. Miller, bless his heart, his health is gone. His wife's health is gone. They're both up in years. He could say with Job, why is light given to a man whose way is hid? And if God is hid, then he cannot pastor anymore. That brilliant mind cannot be used to impart scriptural truth anymore. That warm heart cannot be used anymore to warm the hearts of congregations like it did for so many years. They can do this. He can pick up his pen in his little room and say, Dear Pastor, you're the greatest preacher of this generation. That's something. That's something. And I'll open that letter in my office one day when the load's a bit heavy. And a preacher's been preaching longer, I guess, than I'm old even, maybe. Simply says, you're the greatest preacher of this generation. That's not much. That's not much to do, but he did what he could do. You got a pen. You got a piece of paper. Write down what you know. Stick it in a drawer and let somebody find it three generations from now. Get you a little bus route. I think I know why my mother sang that song right in the corner where you are. Because my mother was one of the most brilliant minds I've ever known in my life. My mother was the outstanding child psychologist I've ever met. I don't think I've ever known anybody that had as much common sense as my mother had. My mother was never privileged to teach Sunday school class much. She taught when she could, but she had to sit there for the first 7 years of her marriage. After she had a baby a year after she married, and the next 7 years, she had to sit by an afflicted child who couldn't walk or talk. She couldn't teach a Sunday school class. And there was all that knowledge and all that psychology and all that ability. I'll tell you what she could do. In a little shack of a house with a kerosene lamp for light and a wood stove for heat and paper stuck in the windows to keep the howling winter wind from coming in the little house. She can sit in a little red rocking chair and she can rock and she can take the Bible every night and read it to her boy for 30 minutes. And she can hold it up and say, "Son, this Bible's the Word of God. Say it. The Bible, the Word of God. Say it again, son. The Bible, the Word of God. Say it again. The Bible, the Word of God. And the Bible's about Jesus, son. Jesus is the Son of God. Say it. Jesus is the Son of God, Mama. Say it again. Jesus is the Son of God, Mama. Say it again. Jesus is the Son of God, Mama." She could do that. She could not teach a little class of 7 or 8. But she could preach this morning to several thousand people. You know why? Listen to me. Because when she did not have the opportunities that she thought she should have to use what she knew, she used the opportunities that she did have to use what she knew. She could brighten the corner. I know why she sang. She wasn't singing that song to me. She was singing that song to herself. My mother, listen to me. My mama could have graced any parsonage in America. My mama could have stood beside any pastor in this country. My mama could have spoken with a little bit of practice and opportunity. My mama could have spoken at ladies' meetings across the country, but she never did that. She had a drunkard husband. She had an afflicted daughter. Another daughter who died. But mama could take an opportunity that she had. Job said, "Why did you give me all this knowledge and not give me any way to use it? Why did you give me this leadership ability and not let me have opportunity to lead? Why did you give me this business knowledge and not even let me be able to keep my business? It was your wind that destroyed and took the lives of my cattle, my sheep, my oxen, my goats. You're the one that did it. An act of God. Why did you put me here in this city now and not give me a chance to use what I know?" I don't know, Job. I don't know. But I know this. I know that whatever opportunity you have, listen carefully now. If I were a preacher and did not have the opportunity to use what I've learned, I'd find me a group of little boys and I'd teach those boys and I'd live in those boys, and someday I would sit in an audience somewhere and watch one of those boys do what I never had the opportunity to do. Use what you have! Not what opportunity you think you deserve. Use what you have wherever God's placed you. And let me say it again. To those dear saints of God, who know so much, who'll never preach a sermon, never get outside a wheelchair, we ought to be tracking to their places. I went to see my mother every Friday afternoon when she was up in years. And I sat there at her knees. And sometimes Dr. Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, sat there actually on the floor at her knees. And I said, "Mama, and ask you some questions. And my mother, who didn't even finish the third grade, her son, who went to college and seminary and was president of a college, chancellor of a college, sat at that little woman's knees and learned. So I can give her what she knew to you. You're not listening to Jack Hiles preach here. Sometimes old Tom Kimmel walked up one day to me and said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "you loved him, didn't you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "That wasn't Jack Hiles preaching this morning. That was John Rice." Preacher came to me not long ago and he said, "Dr. Hiles, you've been Brother Tom Malone lately, haven't you?" I said, "No, why?" He said, "That's Tom Malone preaching this morning." Fellow said one day, he said, "Dr. Hiles, that wasn't you preaching, that's Lee Robertson." You know what I found out years ago? I found out that John Rice and Tom Malone, Lee Robertson are better preachers than I am. So I just presented a body and let them preach through me. I sat beside that old man and Dr. John Rice in his last years when his memory was failing him. I sat across the table from him and I sat across the bed from him and across the coffee table from him in hotel rooms and restaurants across this country. And I said, "Dr. John, talk to me. 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 There's too much up there for it to go to waste. Let me have it. Teach it." Oh, like a gold, a man in the gold mines looking for gold. Let's pan the minds of these people of God who know so much and find out what they know before they pass off the scene. Some young ladies hadn't this sense. You'd talk to Marie Whistler over here a while. Before she passes away, though she's not going to pass away soon, I think she's got a week or two left, but before she's gone, you ought to find out what she knows. Close these dumb psychology books and talk to these saints of God. Sitting here on the fourth row this morning is a lady named Mamie Brown. Some of you little girls ought to spend a little less time primping with you, putting a paint on your face, and go sit with that gal sometime and find out what she knows. She'll be gone one of these days. You're so busy flirting with these little gals that know nothing, you haven't got time to talk to these gals that know something. Find out what they know! Job, I can't comprehend how you feel. Your wealth, all gone. 10 children, all gone. Your health, destroyed. Your wife, gone. Your friends, you thought your friends, they're gone. And there you sit in the city dump, the wisest man in the whole country, best mind in the whole country. And you look up to God and say, "Why did you give a man light and hedge him in? Why did you give me light, not give me a chance to use it?" God owes Job nothing. God didn't have to answer Job. I'll tell you the answer. In my Bible, there's a whole book here. It's called the Book of Job. You know why? Because though Job did not get to do what he thought he should do with what he knew, he did what he could do with what he knew. And so can you. What a good New Year's resolution. What a wonderful New Year's resolution. Dear God, I will not... I'm not praying yet. You're going to get your hopes up. All I got to do is say, "Dear God." No, just give him about a minute. It's amazing how folks that are already nodding can nod more. Fell asleep all the time. Yeah, he hears me say, "Dear God." What a New Year's resolution. If God does not give you... Hear me now and I'll close. If you don't hear me, I'm going to talk all day. If God does not give you the opportunity you think you deserve to use what He's given you, then you use whatever opportunity God has given you to use what He's given you. and to tell what He's given you. Old Dr. John Rice used to say, and I can't even comprehend this statement, and I'll close with this. I heard him say many times, he'd sit across the table. When Dr. Rice began to think, he'd take his fingernails like that. I knew he had something he wanted to say. One day he was sitting across the table. In fact, many times he did. I said, "Dr. Rice, what are you thinking about?" And Dr. Rice looked up and said, "Brother Hines, if you ever hear I run off with somebody else's wife," and he, little sneakish, impish grin come across his face, and he said, "In the first place, she'll be pretty. I ain't going to run off with an ugly gal." He said, "Dr. Hines, Brother Hines, if you ever hear I run off with somebody else's wife, and I can't be entered to the sword of the Lord anymore, and I can't write books anymore," he said, "I'll tell you where you'll find me." He began to cry. He said, "You'll find me at some rescue mission preaching. Or you'll find me on a street corner, and I'll be preaching." That's what he was saying. He was saying, if I can't use what God has given me in the way that I want Him to, I want to use it. I'll use what God has given me in whatever way I can. What a resolution. What a thing to say at the beginning of a new year. Whatever God has given me, I'll use it in whatever way I can. Our Heavenly Father,